2, of all places, I'm going to get you. Open your Bibles to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. We finished up our study through Colossians last week. We kind of talked about the idea of all of us have a part to play. We looked at the closeout of that book, and we saw how God uses all different types of people, and that the gospel has been carried for the history of the church on the backs of just ordinary people that will never really go down in a history book. And as I thought about that, is before we move on into our next series, starting next week, as we'll study through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, starting next week, I thought, what a great way to look, to kind of bounce off of what we talked about last week, but to learn some lessons from an Old Testament figure, Jonah. And there are some wonderful lessons that we will learn from Jonah. And so today, I want to point out to you just a few things that I think are important as we keep in mind that every one of us in here has a part to play in the mission and the story of God. That God has a purpose in the world, right? And that purpose is that through His Son, He is saving a people for Himself. A people from every tribe, a people from every tongue, and a people from every nation. And He's saving them that He will be their God and they will be His people. But He's doing more than saving. He's transforming them into the likeness of His Son, who is the true form of humanity. God, Jesus is fully God and fully man. And we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ, not in His divinity, but in His humanity. And so when we think about that, as God is both transforming us and using us for the purpose of drawing others to that transformation, I look at a figure like Jonah and I find some things that are helpful for us to understand. Some things that quite honestly we get out of whack with at times that I think we can learn from this story of Jonah. Everybody knows that Jonah was a prophet of God about 793 to 753 B.C. Jonah was a historical person. This is not a made-up allegorical story. Jesus talks about Jonah as a physical person. This is something that really happened. And we kind of know the story of what goes on. Jonah is hanging out, doing his thing, being the messenger of God, and he gets a word from the Lord to go and do something, and then everything kind of spirals out of control from there, right? And so we're going to learn some cool things. So before we get in, we're going to kind of go through the whole book, the whole letter here of Jonah, the whole book of Jonah. I'm not going to read every verse, but we're going to kind of jump through it and see it. So would you pray with me, and then I hope that we learn some lessons from Jonah about the fact that we are all to join in on God's mission. So let's pray. Father, I pray that You would guide us today by Your Spirit, that You would lead us to understand Your purposes more and to work in us the fruit of obedience to Your glorious name and Your glorious purpose. Father, just use me today as Your mouthpiece to encourage Your people, to instruct Your people, and to even challenge Your people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' It says, 'But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with him to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord.'" Now, think about this story. Jonah is a prophet of God, so he has been called by God to do His will, to do His mission. And God comes and says, "Hey, Jonah, I got a new mission for you." And He didn't say, "If you choose to accept it," by the way. This is not Mission Impossible. This is the mission of God, right? He says, "I got a mission for you. I want you to go to Nineveh." But Jonah has other ideas. He's like, "No, no, I don't really want to go to Nineveh. I don't really want to do this. That doesn't sound like fun to me. So instead, he books a cruise, right? He goes down to the port and he books a cruise. And unfortunately, he had an interior room down at the bottom. He didn't get a cool balcony or anything, but he got an interior room down at the bottom, right? And so he decides he's going to do that. And everything probably seems fine to Jonah, right? God has given him this word, say, I want you to do this. He's like, no, Lord, I'm not down with that. I'm going on Carnival instead, right? And so he's probably relaxing down in the ship, waiting. He wants to go to Tarshish. It's like the Caribbean, right? He wants to go to the beach. He wants to go hang out. Everything's cool. And there's Jonah, ignoring the mission of God. Everything seems to be going hunky-dory for him. And I think about that. There's a lesson that I think we need to remember first and foremost here. Just because things are going your way doesn't mean you're being obedient. Just because things are going your way doesn't mean God approves of what you're doing. This comes up all the time. We often fool ourselves that because my job situation is going good, because my family situation is going good, because my financial situation is going good, because I'm happy, because I'm saving money, because things are easy for us, that means that God is approving of what we are doing. But here's the thing, especially for Jonah, and it applies for us. Being happy is not the point. Jonah being down in the ship, relaxing, kicking back for the journey, going to Tarshish, even though it seems to him that things are going well, that is not the point. He is out of bounds. And we tend to do that. We tend to think that if things are going well for us, that must mean that we're right before the Lord. Matter of fact, people use that type of terminology in the prosperity nonsense gospel, which says, you know, the evidence that everything is right before you and God is that you are what? You are blessed and healthy and wealthy. But here's a thing, friends. Just because things are going your way doesn't mean that you're in God's will. Doesn't mean that God is approving. We get so caught up in those things about being happy, about being affirmed. But friends, being happy and being affirmed is not the point. And we make a serious mistake when we assume that we are in God's will based on our success, based on our happiness, based on our acceptance. By the way, we're living in a time in our culture, in the Western world, where now affirmation becomes God. What I mean is affirmation is the authority. That we just have to affirm and accept and affirm people and accept people in every single way or accept anything into our lives so long as it makes us happy or fulfills us. But make no mistake, as we see in Jonah, Jonah's doing just fine, but he's not in the will of the Lord. He's not in the will of the Lord. So that's the first thing, just a brief as an introduction. Just because things are going your way doesn't mean that you're in the will of the Lord. Doesn't mean. But it will come to an end. Because there Jonah was, hanging out, living it up, drinking a Mai Tai down in the bottom of the ship, right? And then look at verses 4 and 5 until something happens. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a great mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship threatened to break up. And the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea and lightened it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. Think about this. See, Jonah is like hanging out. Everything's going down, but here's the truth. Here's the second truth that I want to get. Even though that just because things are going your way doesn't mean that you're in the will of God, here's the other truth. Ultimately, you and I can never hide from God. We can never hide from God. He will always find us. Jonah thought that he was going to leave and go to Tarshish and ignore this mission. He went and got in this ship and took off. He's down there hanging out, chilling out in the bottom of the ship, and God found him. And you will never hide from God. Here's the thing. If you are his child, if you are his child, he will correct you in his name. Proverbs 3:11 through 12 proclaims that God chastises those. God corrects those whom he loves. He corrects his children. That's picked up in Hebrews 12. And the author of Hebrews talks about this. That it is a joy that we are chastised and corrected by God. That God takes care of his children. If you're his child, he will correct you. We often think that we can hide in the background. That if we have been called, remember, Jonah was called to a mission to go to Nineveh. You and I have been called to go to the world. It starts in our families and in our communities and our jobs and it just branches out in our life. We have a calling to do this. And sometimes we think we can sit back on the sidelines or we can hide out in the bowels of the ship. But friends, ultimately, if we are God's children, he will not let us sit there. He's going to get you. When God was ready, he acted. There's Jonah sleeping down in the bottom. And then look what happens. Jonah's thrown into the sea. They come and they throw Jonah into the sea. They're trying to lighten the load. And they throw Jonah into the sea. Essentially, he realizes that he's the problem. Right? The ship is sinking. And he's the problem because he's not being obedient. There's a whole other point there that I'm going to gloss over until later. The ship is sinking. And it's sinking because he is being disobedient to the call. Maybe I won't ignore that. Sometimes it seems like the church of Jesus Christ in our culture is sinking. And I think sometimes it seems that way because so many of us are ignoring the call. The call to love. The call to serve. The call to take the gospel. The call to reach out. And the ship's sinking, just like Jonah. Jonah's down there sleeping, and so many of us are sleeping in the pews and not involved. But there's hope. So Jonah, in verse 17, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah's thrown out, and this great fish comes and swallows up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. But look at what happens. I want to read Jonah's prayer in verses 1 through 10. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head and roots of the mountains. And I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remember the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the land. What you see here, in a nutshell, is a picture, an imperfect picture of a man, a picture of an imperfect man repenting before the Lord. He's repenting before the Lord. He understands now that he was disobedient to the Lord, and he repented. And the lesson here that we want to get, that we want to understand, is that when we repent, God is ready to forgive. So if we have been people that thought our life was going just fine, well, if we repent, and try to seek the Lord, he forgives and moves on. If we are people that are ultimately found by God in the midst of that, when we repent, God is ready and willing to forgive. But friends, we shouldn't wait till we're in the belly of a whale to ask for forgiveness. We don't keep going down that line waiting. But God is willing and ready to forgive. And you need to know this. If you're sitting here today and you know that there are things in your life that you are not being obedient to God, there are things in your life that are contrary to what God has called you in your life and in your life with Him, in the glorious hope that we have in Christ Jesus. The wonderful truth here is that go to the Lord in repentance and He will forgive. He will wipe it away. This is the hope that we carry. As the Scriptures tell us that not only is Christ faithful to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you're sitting here, whether it's being lax and not being a part of the mission of God, or whether it's something going on in your family or something going on at work or whatever sin issue or challenges or disobedience issue there is, I plead with you, just simply go to the Lord in repentance. Be forgiven. Christ died for that. Christ died for that. And we honestly scorn the cross of Christ when we don't go to our Father and rest in that forgiveness. So go before the Lord. When we repent, God is ready to forgive. But the next thing we see here, I want you to get, is forgiveness does not excuse us from obedience to God's will. Look at what happens in verses chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. So Jonah has admitted, yes, Lord, I messed up. Yes, Lord, I am sorry. Yes, Lord, I am terrible. I abandoned you. I did not do. I am guilty before the Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. And the Lord spits him out. But what happened? Look at verse chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it in the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an extremely great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Friends, when we are forgiven, when we repent before God for our wrongdoing, for our failure to be a part of His calling, that does not then excuse us from obedience from then on. Doesn't mean that we get forgiven, then we can continue on going down our way. Jonah did this. He abandoned the mission of God, refused to go. God found him, put him in the belly of a fish. Jonah repented before the Lord, received forgiveness, was thrown out of the fish, but then what? Was called to go and do the thing that the Lord had called him to do. God doesn't sit there and say, oh, okay, well, I forgive you. Now I'll let you go on what I've called you for. No. Forgiveness does not excuse us from obedience. Jonah had repented. He's sorry. God forgave him, but he didn't get a free pass. And sometimes we think that, don't we? Sometimes we think that we can cover our disobedience by asking for forgiveness. Now, the graciousness and forgiveness of God is abounding, but we better not take it for granted. God is not to be trifled with, if you will. God knows when we are repenting because we think it's going to somehow get us our way or get us out. That's not true repentance. We do this. Oh, God, please forgive me, but don't make me do what you want, right? We do that all the time. Just forgive me, Lord, but don't make me do that. I will do anything for love, but I won't do that, right? That's a theologian called Meatloaf. You guys are... That's supposed to get a giggle from you. All right, so that's it. Forgiveness does not excuse us from obedience to God's will. But the story keeps going because, remember, this is a story about a man who is called to do to go on a mission to carry the message of God. I want you to equate that to us, to the church. As people who are called out of darkness, as Peter says, we are called out of darkness into His marvelous light so that we would what? Proclaim the excellencies of Him who did it. Right? That once we were in dark, once we were not a people, but now we are a people. We are His people. Right? We've been called out of the world so that we'd go back into the world and proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of that darkness and into His light. It's pretty much the same calling that God gave Jonah. Hey, you, Jonah, I want you to go to that darkness and I want you to proclaim my light. I want you to call them to repentance and trust in me. Right? And look what happens. Jump over, look at verses 4 through 10. So Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. So Jonah goes with the mission of God, and something miraculous happens. They listen, right? He goes to this grand city, this people filled with people that are slapping each other with fishes. Come on, no VeggieTale people here, huh? All right. God, I think the fun people are all on vacation, right? So they go to the city. He goes to them with this message, right? This call them to repentance and trust in Jesus, right? And something miraculous happens. They believe. They believe God. And they call for a fast, and they put on sackcloth. They repented, right, of their sins. This is a glorious thing, by the way. That notice that they said they didn't believe Jonah. They believed God, right? Jonah was the messenger of God. It wasn't about Jonah. It was about God. And there's hope there for us, by the way, as that we go out into the world, God will produce fruit in what we do. If He intends for it to produce repentance and belief, it will produce repentance and belief. Sometimes it will, as we see throughout the Scriptures, sometimes it will produce hardship and hardening of hearts. But we can be faithful that if we just go, if we follow what Jesus said, be disciple makers in our homes, in our community, and work. We just seek to do those things. Seek to be lovers of people, compassionate people, givers and servants and carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can know that even in the midst of a place that looks like Nineveh, God will use our labor. And this is what happened to Jonah. He goes to this place that he did not want to go, to people he did not want to go to. And what happened? They believed God. They didn't believe God because Jonah was good. They didn't believe God because Jonah had it all together. They didn't believe God because Jonah was a perfect orator. They believed God because Jonah was used by God, just as Paul and was used in Corinth to go and to plant and to water, but God gave the growth. We have a grand mission, the same mission that was given to Jonah. And we can go forth in that mission knowing that God will produce what He intends to produce. I just simply need to be faithful. Jonah had no idea what God could do. But here's the other sad thing. He didn't want to do it. Look at what happens in chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." You think about that. This is Jonah. Now the truth comes out is why he took off. It wasn't because he didn't want to go to Nineveh. It's because he didn't want to go to the Ninevites. They weren't worthy of his service. They weren't worthy of God's call. Jonah had set in his mind that there were certain people that he was willing to go to. And there were certain people that he wasn't willing to go to. Think about that. There's a grand lesson there for the church of Jesus Christ. And the lesson is for us, in a nutshell, is no one is unforgivable because God's grace abounds. It doesn't matter how horrific their life is. It doesn't matter the sin and the destruction that permeates their life and how ugly it might be. God can rise everything above that. And we are called to go to them. It's a lot easier, though. Let's just be honest. It's a lot easier to welcome the nice, put-together family that's got great jobs and can give lots of money to the church. And it's a lot easier to go to those people than it is to go and try to build the kingdom on people that have nothing to give back. By the way, that challenges those who are in the church when we meet and say, what do you mean? I got to keep giving and I got to keep supporting. I got to keep doing this stuff and I got to keep supporting the mission of the church. And what about them? And so let's not go after them. We become like Jonah. It happens all too often. We decide, we get to decide who is worthy of our service, our love, and the gospel. And who is it? And this is exactly what happened with Jonah. It wasn't about Nineveh was too hot, or he didn't want to travel that direction. It was about people. Jonah didn't view them as worthy. And so he didn't want to go. And he risked it all to run away from that. But here's the thing. What we find, look at what the Lord said. And the Lord said, do you dwell to be angry? Do you dwell to be angry? Do you dwell to be angry? This is a very simple thing. Here's the thing. Even though Jonah thought he could decide, the truth is we don't get to choose. We don't get to choose who God will pour His grace out on. God gets to choose. When we are called into gospel ministry, which every Christian, by the way, every Christian is called into gospel ministry. It's not a pastor job. It's not an elder job. It's not a deacon job. It is a Christian privilege to take the gospel to the world. It's our privilege. But we don't get to choose who we take it to. We don't get to decide who's worthy of God's grace. We don't get to decide that. God is concerned with saving souls. And so should we. Look what happens here in verses 5 through 11. So Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself. There he sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun arose, God appointed a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plan? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? Think about what Jonah said. Why did Jonah not want to go? Because he knew that God was gracious. He knew that God was going to forgive them. He knew that if all they did was simply repent before the Lord, that God was gracious and kind and steadfast in love, and they forgive him. And he couldn't handle that. He couldn't handle that. He was angry, and he went. And something in him got even angrier when they actually did it. When he looked at those people who did not deserve the grace of God. Somehow he did, but they didn't deserve the grace of God. And when they were forgiven, he was angry. So much so that he went up to the city and he was hoping to watch God destroy the city. Even when they repented, he was hoping that God would still destroy the city. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. And God taught him a great lesson. I read this passage as, I don't see Jonah repenting of this. It drops off. The last we see of Jonah is there in his anger, mad because a gift that God had given him, a simple plant that God has given him, was taken away. And he cared more about that plant than he cared about the souls of those people. Boy, there's a big lesson there for us. What do we care about, friends? Do we care about our neighbors? Or do we care more about the physical blessings that we have in this world? So often we live for those things. But are we willing to sacrifice those things for the millions outside of these walls who are perishing that don't know their right from their left? Jonah cared more about the plan. Jonah cared more about his rifles, his fishing poles. Jonah cared more about his boats and his trucks and his house. And God stripped it away. What God wants us is to care about souls of people. God gave Jonah that plant as a blessing. That plant was there for Jonah's good. And I believe that had Jonah sat and said, yes, Lord, I understand, and sought the good of the people, that shade would have remained on him. But no, he didn't. He showed in his heart that he cared more about these physical things that God had given, and he cared not about. Friends, God cares about people. God cares about people. And His church should care about people. We should be willing to sacrifice for the good of people. Not saying we shouldn't enjoy things that God gives us and have. You guys know I love to fish. I love to camp. I love to go cruising. Just not in the bottom of the ship. Balconies are way better. I love all that stuff. Those are good blessings from the Lord. Enjoy what you have in the Lord. But don't live for it. Live for God's mission. So often the church is so busy worrying about its own comfort that we miss the grand privilege and opportunity to be used by God to call sinners to wholeness God, what a great privilege we have, friends. What a wonderful privilege we have to go to people and say, you know what? I'm not better. I'll never look down my nose at you. But don't you know that there is a God who loves you so much? And He proved it. That while you were in your sin, Christ died for you. Won't you trust in Him? That's the beginning. Obviously it grows from, but boy, that's the beginning. And it's an all hands on deck thing. Every one of us has the privilege to do that. It doesn't mean you have to go to Africa or you go to Sudan. You do it in your home. It begins with your children and your neighbors and your co-workers and the community. We build relationships with people so that we can speak into their lives. And it encompasses all sorts of manners in which we do it, all sorts of opportunities. I was thinking about this last night as I was putting the final touches here. Like there's no small jobs even in the church as we seek. Everything that we do as a church is for the purpose of advancing that mission. That's what we want to do. As the elders and I, when we sit and we think about these things, and what do we want to do? We try. How does this help us accomplish the mission of both serving for the glory of God in missions, in worshiping God, in discipling people, right? Everything fits in that. So everything we do, and there's no small jobs. We have a family here that wants to start a nursery. That is a huge job. What a way that we can serve people in this community and break down a barrier for them to come. Does it a promise that they're going to come? No, but by golly, we should be ready to serve them when they do. What a great opportunity that is to not be Jonah, but to say it. Sunday school teachers, oh my goodness. I'm going to tell you right now, some of you have missed out on a joy in life of sitting in a room and watching an 8-year-old have a light bulb go off. And you are used by God to just faithfully be there and teach them and encourage them, love them. And to watch the light bulb go off and believe. Because you don't have enough time. Or it gets in the way of something else. I don't want to miss that or this or that. So I can't serve in that category. We miss it. I'm not suggesting that you're like Jonah in that, but we miss it. There's no small job. Everything we do as a church is for that goal. And we need to do it together. So all hands on deck. I think Jesus puts it this way. First seek His kingdom and His righteousness and all these things shall be given to you. As we seek to glorify God, both in our lives outside, but even together as a body of believers, as we come together for the purpose of synergistically accomplishing more than we can accomplish on our own. We're all to be involved with it somehow, some way. It's a great privilege. We can go about our lives pretending like we haven't gotten this great call, pretending like all those missions, all those calls, all those responsibilities, all those services for somebody else. We can do that. And we can feel happy in that. But just because we're happy doesn't mean we're in God's will. And if you are His, at some point He will call you. He will call you out. He will call you to repentance. The good news is He's faithful. And He's good. And He will forgive all who repent and turn to His Son. That's the lesson of Jonah in a nutshell. We could go on for a few more hours. But I pray that we as a church go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. we will sacrifice together to take the gospel to people who don't deserve it. Because we didn't deserve it. We're going to sing a wonderful song. It's all about that. And if you need prayer this morning, I would invite you.